Today's shir is Masechta Yuma Daf Nun Beis. We will begin on Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph, the fourth line. In our previous shir, we discussed the Amitraksin, the Amud that was between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and we discussed in that shir the difference that they had in Beis Hamikdash Rishon versus the Beis Hamikdash Sheni, and we also discussed how it looked and from what side we entered. The Gemara, as we begin today, Shir Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, delves deeper into the Amitraksin. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Nosson, Amitraksin, when we speak about the Amitraksin, like Chiribay Chomim, Chazal were not able to make a final determination, Iklefnim, is it considered part of the Kodesh HaGadoshim, Iklechutz, or is it considered part of the Kodesh, not the Kodesh HaGadoshim? Is the Amma that it takes up, where should that Amma be attributed to the Kodesh or the Kodashim? Maskler Ravino asked the Gemara, my Tama, why were Chazal not able to make this determination? Ilema, Meshum Deksiv, the Pasuk says by the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, Babayis HaShabana HaMelech Shloimel HaShem, the Beis HaMikdash Shloimel HaMelech erected, Amma Arkoi, it was Shishim Amma Arkoi, it was 60 amas long, Vesim Rachboi, and it was 20 amas wide, Vishloish Amma Kamasoi, and it was 30 amas tall. So we see that the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedoshim together made up 60 amma. Viksiv, and it also says regarding the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, Va'ar Boim Ba'amma Hoya Abayis Hu Hechel Fonai, the length of the Kodesh was 40 amas. Viksiv, and it says Ulufnei Advir, these are all Pesukim and Malachim, Esrim Amma Oirich, Esrim Amma Roichav, Vesrim Amma Kamatzai, that inside the area which separated the Kodesh and the Kedoshim, there was a place that was 20 amas wide by 20 amas wide and 20 amas high. V'lo Yedinon, and now, so these were the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara actually, Masechta Baba Basra asks, that here it says that it was 20 amas high, and another place it says it was 30 amas high. So the question is, was it 20 amas tall or 30 amas tall? And the Gemara over there answers that the Kruvim took up 10 amas. So from the height of the Kruvim to the roof were 20 amas, from the floor were 30 amas. So the Lo Yedinon, so going back to our Gemara, and we're not quite sure, Amitraksin, when we speak about the Amitraksin, Mahani Esrim, is it considered part of the 20 Amma of the Kodesh Gedoshim? Ivi Mahani Aboim, or is it part of the 40 Amma of the Kodesh? V'dilma, ask the Gemara, why are these the only two options? V'dilma, Loi Mahani Esrim, they're not to be counted part of those 20. V'loi Mahani Aboim, they're not to be considered part of those 40. V'chalol Kacheshev, and the Pasuk that mentions the length of the Beis HaMikdash, which was a total of 60 Amma, only speaks about it as an empty space, that the entire space was 60 Amas, and 40 Amas of empty space were the Kodesh, and 20 Amas of empty space with the Kodesh HaGadoshim. The Amitraksin, which is obviously a wall, Kesolim, the walls, like a Choshva, not being counted. And therefore, we don't have to have this question. And the Gemara wants to bring a raya that the width of walls are not counted when we make these different calculations. The Kesolim, wherever the Tana speaks about walls, he mentions that their width independently, not part of the empty space. And he brings a raya from a Mishnah, and the Gemara brings a raya from a Mishnah Masechta Midas. The Mishnah Masechta Midas, Perek Dal Mishnah Vav, teaches us, Hehechel, the entire base HaMikdash, the entire building, was Meya, Ameya, was 100 Amma from east to west, and 100 Amma from north to south, Barum Meir, with a height of 100. And the Mishnah, very much going in depth, describes these dimensions. Says the Gemara, Oivel HaKaisel, the width of the wall of the Ulam, we've many times spoken about the Ulam, the foyer that one enters to go into the Beis HaMikdash, the width of that Ulam was Chamish Amos, was five Amos. The Ulam itself was Achas Esrei, 11 Amos. HaKaisel HaHechel, after you finish the Ulam, you have the wall of that Hechel, which is between the Ulam and the Hechel, was 6 Amos. Arkoi, then we have the actual Hechel, as we've been describing, was Arboim Amos, was 40 Amos long. Then we have the Amatrakskin, which separates the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then we have Esrim Amos, based Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then we have the 20 Amos of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then you have Kaisel HaHechel, the back wall of the Beis HaMikdash, the back wall of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which was Seish, which was 6 Amos. Then you have Hatar. There were like chambers in the walls of the back wall of the Beis HaMikdash, where they stored things for different purposes. They were 6 Amos. And the Kaisel Hatar in the wall, the outer wall, was Chamesh. So we see that the Amatrakskin is considered separate. So our question that we began today's shiur with was the Amatrakskin part of the Kodesh or part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? The Gemara is now suggesting it might have been neither. It might have been a separate, distinct, distinct area, says the Gemara. Very possible. It is very possible that the Amatrakskin is not part of the 40, nor part of the 20. It may be a separate altogether. The question that is bothering our Gemara is not where is it in the 40 and the 20. The question is, even if it's a separate, distinct area, we need to know, is it Kelefnim or Kelechutz? How do we look at that area? Do we treat it like an area that's Kodesh, or do we treat it like an area that's Kodesh HaKadoshim? And says the Gemara, and Hainu Da'am Rabbi Yochanan, that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan taught us. The boy Yosef ish Hutzal, Yosef who lived in Hutzal, the Torah says, the Pasuk says in Melachim regarding the building of the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, Dvir B'toch HaBayis B'Pnimim, Hechen Losus L'Hashem B'ris Hashem, they had this place, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where they put the Aron, the boy, and Rabbi Yosef ish Hutzal tries to understand the Pasuk or Dvir, Hechi Amikloa, what does the pasuk mean to say? Dvir b'toich habayis. You have the wall which separates the kodesh and the kodesh kedoshim, and anything mipnima, anything inside of that area, is considered the kodesh kedoshim, and therefore the dvir itself will not have the status of the kodesh kedoshim. Idoma, or maybe says the Gemara, the way to understand hachikama dvir b'toich habayis mipnima, that ready when we measure the Dvir itself is part of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that is exactly the question. It may be a distinct area, but even if it's a distinct area, we need to know what is its status. Does it have the status of the of Kodesh, or does it have the status of Kodesh HaKadoshim? Says the Gemara, Umim Sapkale, how could we have such a question? For Tanya, says the Gemara, there's a Braisa that teaches us, Isi ben Yehuda Omer, Chomish Mikras Betaira, there are 5 psukim in the Torah, Einlan Echra. We don't know exactly how to interpret the psukim. There are words in the pasuk, and we don't know where to put the comma. And when we don't know where to put the comma, we can't know what to do with the pasuk. The first pasuk is a pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Kayin after he killed his brother Hevel. And he told him, Aloy imtetiv se'es, v'mloy se'etiv l'pesa chatas roivitz. So the word se'es, we don't know how to interpret the pasuk. Do we say, what we're saying was, imtetiv, if you will do better, if you will do tshuva, se'es, Hashem is telling him, I will be meichel you. Aloy imtetiv, if you do better, se'es, Hashem says, I will be Michael, you, Vim Light Satev, but if you don't do tshuva, than lepesachat of Shroivitz. Or we could learn the pasuk seis v'moitetiv, to put the comma before the word seis. And what we're saying is that if you don't do tshuva, you're going to continue carrying your avera. There's another pasuk. The pasuk describes the menorah, and the pasuk says menorah abar gvim mishukadim kafterah ufrachah. So there's again the word mishukadim, which means that they had a design like Ammon's. It's not clear how to define that pasuk. Do we say uvenorah hayabar gvim mishukadim, that only the gvim, the cups, had these shapes on it, but the flowers and the blossoms, the kaftarim and frochim, did not? And the way we're going to learn the pasuk is uvenorah abam gvim mishukadim, and there will be a comma after the word mishukadim. Or do we read the pasuk mishukadim kaftarim frochim, that the kaftarim and the prochim will have the mishukadim on it? And we don't know how to read this pasuk. So many Rishonim already ask that we know that in the Torah there are tamim, there are trop, that help us read the psukim and help us know how to make a space in the pasuk. So if we look in the pasuk that we just read, the pasuk has an asnachta. The asnachta means a break. And here, if we read the pasuk, ubenayr abam shukadim kafterah brachel, the break is after mishukadim. So isn't that clearly an indication that the mishukadim goes on the gvim? What's the question? So Ritva asked this question, and Ritva says what the Gemara means to say is that were we just to read the pasuk itself, we wouldn't have an indication how to understand the pasuk. But Baruch Hashem, says the Ritva, that we have the Tamei, the Kra, and that gives us the answer. So he says, according to Ritva, we certainly have we know how to read the Pasuk, but we know how to read the Pasuk, and as I saw the Mefarshim explain what the Ritva means to say, that the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan teaches us that the Tamei, the Kra, were taught by Ezra. They were not taught by Moshe Rabbeinu. And what it means to say is that at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, there wasn't a clarity how to understand the Pasuk. Later generations, after Ezra HaSofer gave us the Tamei HaKra, we know how to read the Pasuk properly. The Mashal has a different explanation. He says that, of course, Tamei HaKra came to Klal Yisrael already from the time of Kabbalah HaTorah. He says, but over the generations, those Tamim were forgotten, weren't necessarily accurate. And therefore, one cannot rely on the Tamim to read the Psukim, to rely on the Tamim, how to know how to interpret a Pasuk. The Shaar Ephraim, interestingly, makes a comment. He says that when one reads these Psukim, he should not read the Tamei the Kra, because clearly, were we to rely on the Tamei the Kra, the Gemara wouldn't have a question. The Gemara would have had an answer. So that's why the Shaar Ephraim says, clearly these psukim, even if, like the Mashal says, we have Tamei the Kra, they may be inaccurate and not reliable on. However, I did see that others, the Ritva clearly disagrees. The Ritva says that clearly, in his opinion, the Tamei the Kra can be relied on. Just in this case, the Gemara didn't have the Tamei the Kra. It would be very relevant, the Cheshuke Chemet points out, la'aloch l'maisa. The question would come up if somebody is doing Shnai Mikra Ve'echa Targum. So usually, the way Shnai Mikra Ve'echa Targum is done, we do each pasuk two times, and then we do the Targum. Maybe these psukim should be read four times. The reason they should be read four times is two times, each pasuk should be read two times with the comma in the different places. I saw that the Paradis Yosef explains that how do we understand this question, if the Meshukadim is on the Gvim or the Meshukadim is on the Kafta Beferech. Gvim, We know that the Gemara speaks about, in more than one place, the Gemara in Masechta Horius, at the end of Masechta Horius, discusses, is a Sinai Adif, somebody who has a lot of kiyas, somebody who has a lot of knowledge, preferable, or somebody who's a Oika Horim, somebody who's a Lamdim, preferable. The Gvim represent, says the Paradis Yosef, Sinai. The Gvim represent the kiyas. So that's why Meshukadim, they should be the ones that are decorated. The one that should be considered the greater Talmud Chacham is the one that's a Baki, who amassed a lot of knowledge. The other opinion holds that the Kafterer or Frecher should be Mishukadim, because they're the ones that should be shown the greater respect, because that's what's more important, to be a Lamdin. The next Pasuk that the Gemara says, we're not clear how to interpret. The Pasuk says, by the Mechama with Amalek, Moshe Rabbeinu told Yeshua, "B'chalon anoshim, choose for us people, but say he lochem b'Amalek and go out and hold battle with Amalek. Moicher anoichi nitzav aroisha giver umato lekim biyodi. Tomorrow I'm going to be standing on top of the mountain, and the stick of Hashem is going to be in my hand." And here too, there's a question how to interpret the pasuk. Was Moshe Rabbeinu telling Yeshua, "Say he lochem b'Amalek mocher, you go out tomorrow to hold battle with Amalek, and today," and in other words, he's saying, "Say lochem b'Amalek mocher, kama," and Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, "You're going to go to war tomorrow, and I, anoichi nitzav al rosh giver matel kim biyodi, I'm going to start davening already today that you should be successful in that war. Or we could understand the pasuk with a different way of putting the kama. The Moshe Rabbeinu told Yeshua, "Say he lochem b'Amalek, kama, you go out to hold war right now, and I," Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Machar anoichi nitzal v'rosh giver, tomorrow I'll daven. You don't need my tefillah until tomorrow." Another place where the Gemara says we're not quite certain how to interpret the pasuk. Yaakov Avinu tells Shimon Levi, "Ki ba'apam hargu ish," this is in Parshas Vayichi, "ubritzonim ikru shor or apam kiyos." And here too, we don't know how to explain the word "aror." Do we say that kibapam ahagwish ubitzonim ikushar aror? The aror is going on Shem, or is the aror going on Shimon and Levi and cursing their anger? So was Yaakov Avinu cursing Shem for doing such a despicable act? Or is he cursing Shimon Levi for having gotten angry? Next pasuk, which is not clear. The pasuk says, "V'yomer Hashem al Moshe, hincha shoyche v'mavasecha, v'kama amazeh, v'zana achriv elhei necher oretz." So here too, we're not sure how to explain it. Was he saying, "Hincha shoyche v'mavasecha v'kam"? The kam is after the kam. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, that even though you're going to be nifter, even though you're going to pass away, I'm telling you, v'kam, that you're going to be zoicha to tchias ha-mesim. So the pasuk is telling Moshe Rabbeinu that he will be mitzvah Hashem zoicha to tchias ha-mesim. Or is the way to understand the pasuk that the v'kam is going, the kam is before the kam. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to unfortunately pass away. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was also telling Moshe Rabbeinu, "V'kam after you pass away, v'kam amazev v'zon achre elhei necha aretz," that after you pass away, the Klai Yisrael is going to rebel and start worshipping Avodah Zarah. V'tanya, and the Gemara says, in continuing this brisa, by the Gemara began this brisa by saying that this was a question of Isi ben Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Yosef Ishutzo is the same as Yosef Abavli, who is the same as Isi ben Yehuda, who the Gemara mentioned. Who Isi ben Gur Aryeh, Vu Isi ben Gamliel, Vu Isi ben Mahalo, Mashmoy, what was his right name? Isi ben Akiva Shmoy. So the Farshim tried to understand, why does Gemara have to mention all of these different names that he had? So one pshat that I saw was that unfortunately he lived a life of persecution and he had to constantly be on the run. And every time he ran away, he changed his name so he should not be easily caught. Another pshat that I saw is that he had this name because he had all these names because they represent all the different facets of his personality. But what's relevant to our shir is that the Gemara says we're not quite certain how to interpret the pasuk in Malachim that speaks about Devir B'toich Habayis, and how to interpret that pasuk, how to understand what is the Devir. Is the Devir on the Kodesh side, or is the Devir on the Kodesh HaKadoshim side? But here, when we just listed all the psukim where there's a question, this wasn't mentioned. Isn't that clearly indication that there is no question how to interpret that pasuk? Answers the Gemara. But the Rai Seleka, in the Chumash, in the Chamisha Chumash Torah, there are these five psukim that we don't know how to interpret. All the other psukim in the Torah can't be properly read. But this pasuk that we're speaking about, the Dvir, is not a pasuk in the Daraisa. It's a pasuk in Navi. But in the Navi, when we speak about psukim in Navi, it could be other psukim that we can't properly interpret, and that's why we don't know how to react to this question, what to do with these psukim that we're learning in the Shia today. With the Rai Seleka, ask the Gemara, is that true that when we speak about psukim in the Torah, there are no other psukim that there's a question? Vika the boy Rav Chisda. There's a question that Rav Chisda had. The pasuk says, "V'yishlach esnari b'nei Yisrael, v'yalu oilos, v'yizbuchu l'shlam l'Hashem parim." And the question is how to read that pasuk. Is do we say "V'yishlach esnari b'nei Yisrael, v'yalu oilos kvasim," that they brought kvasim, which are normally brought for carbon ayla, and then the pasuk continues, "V'yizbuchu l'shvachem Hashem parim," they brought kvasim for oilos and parim for shlamim. And if that's the case, the word oilos, where it says v'yishlach bnei Yisrael v'yalo oilos, the pasuk, there should be a comma. Idom of idi v'idi parim, that they used parim both for oilos and for shlamim, and therefore the comma should be put different place. So because the parim goes even on the oilos. So we see that even in the Torah, there's another pasuk that we don't know how to read. What are we saying, ask the Gemara, that we only have these five psukim? Says the Gemara, Rav Chisda Masapkele. Rav Chisda indeed did not know how to interpret this pasuk. Lisi ben Yehuda Pshitlei, but Lisi ben Yehuda knew how to interpret this pasuk. He interpreted the pasuk whatever way he interpreted which animal was used, but that's why he didn't put it in his list. So as we mentioned in our previous shir, the Tanna Kamma held that between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there were two curtains. And the question was, where were those curtains? So says the Mishnah, where were the openings to those curtains? Says the Mishnah, Hachzoina, the outer one was open from the south side, and there was like a gold hinge, a gold loop that kept it there. And the inner one was open, menatzofen, from the north side. Umahalech, and the Kohen would enter on the Dorim side. He would enter on the south side. He would walk between the two curtains. We mentioned in our previous year that the area between the two curtains was quite tight. The Rishami says it was only an amma wide. And then, Mahalach Beinayim, he would walk between these two curtains, Ach Megia Letzofain, until he gets to the north side, which is the inner wall, the inner curtain, and he enters the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Shigia Letzofain. When he enters that side, Haifach Panav Ledorim, he turns back to the south side, Mahalach Lesmoilei and Mapreiches, and he's walking with the Preiches being on his left, Ach Megia Le'orin, until he reaches the Orin. He reaches the Orin, Noisinus Amachta, he puts the pan with the Gecholim on the floor, Bein Shnei Be'adim. We know that the Orin had two poles, and he would put that shovel that we've been discussing, he would put it on the floor between, though he would put the poles on that floor. The Ben Yoyada says a beautiful pshat. Why does he enter the Dorim and again go to the Tzofen? He says that we know that the Gemara says many places that Haroitz lahachkim. If somebody wants to be a Talmud Chacham Yadim, he should go to the south side, because the Menorah, which represents the Chachmas HaTorah, was on the south side of the Beis HaMikdash. For Haroitz lahatzpin, if somebody wants to be wealthy, Yatzpin, he should think towards the north, Shrei Shulchan B'Tzofen, because the Tzofen was in the Tzofen. So says the Ben Yoyada, our Mishnah is teaching us a very important lesson. The Mishnah is teaching us that we need to have our priorities correct. And we first have to think about the Tzofen, about the Dorim, about the Chochmas HaTorah. And only after we think about Chochmas HaTorah can we think about wealth. And that's why the Mishnah teaches us that first you walked in on the south side, and after you walked in on the south side, then you walk on the north side. Continues the Mishnah. V'tzavar es haktayrus agabe gecholim. You put the haktayrus on top of the coals that were in the machta. Then the smala kolabais kula oshen. The kohen gadol, the way the Rambam explains, should wait there until the entire kodesh hakodashim becomes completely full of smoke, and then he could go out. Why, explains the Brisker Rav, does the kohen have to wait until the room becomes completely full of smoke? He says, because there's a difference in the avoida of the ketoris on Yom Kippur versus the avoida of the ketoris all year round. The Brisker Rav explains that all year round, the avoida of the ketoris is only completed after you finish, is only completed after you, as soon as you put the ketoris on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. But the avoida on Yom Kippur, and presumably the reason is because you're not even putting it on the Mizbeach, you're just putting it on the floor, is not completed until the room becomes completely full of smoke. And you're not allowed to leave until the avoida is finished. And therefore you have to wait till the whole room gets full of smoke. When the smal kol bayis kol oshim, yotza, and that's when he leaves the kodesh kodoshim, igbaloi kedera kenisosai, and he walked the way he came out. That means he should, and this is a very important halacha, that the kohen gadol, as he walks out of respect, he has to walk out backwards. And this is halacha, that whenever you walk out from a holy place, you have to walk out backwards as a show of respect. The question is it only until he reaches the Heichel that he has to walk backwards, or does he also have to walk out of, only when he walks out of Kodesh Kedoshim that he has to walk out backwards, or even when he walks out of the Kodesh that he has to walk out backwards? And the Meiri I saw says that's a question if it's only on Yom Kippur, or it's a halacha that it takes place all year round. And then the Gemara says, then the Mishnah says, "Mispal tefilah kusar bebeis achitzin." When he gets to the heichel, when he's standing in the heichel, he's mispal tefilah tzara, v'lo yimarch betefilasoi, and he didn't spend a lot of time with that tefilah. Shloi lahavasis Yisrael, the Klai Yisrael should not get scared, because as we've learned many times in our Masechta, that the Kohanim Gedolim who lived in the time of the Beis Hamikdash Sheni were not necessarily of the highest caliber, didn't always do the avoda properly, and they might not have survived that day. And because of that, there was a concern that maybe he didn't survive. So they're standing there worried. So because people are worried, you should daven quicker that he should show that he came out quicker. Another pshat that I saw, that the Mishnah Melech suggests, that the chiyuv for this tefillah is not a chiyuv deraisa. It's only with Rabbanan. And as we've learned, you're not allowed to walk into Kodesh Kedoshim. They only walked in to the Kodesh Kedoshim once a year on Yom Kippur. So to walk in to the Kodesh Kedoshim when you need to, when the Torah tells you to do the avoid that the Torah told you, so that's what you should do, even though it takes time. But here, you have no reason to be in the Kodesh Kedoshim. The Torah didn't tell us to stand in the Kodesh Kedoshim and be mispalo. And therefore, he walked out quickly that he shouldn't remain there. Another pshat that I saw the Chazon Yecheskel is not necessarily in agreement with this, because, with the Mishnah Melech. Because he says that even though, of course, one may not enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's if you weren't allowed to enter in the first place. But here the Kohen Gadol was allowed to enter. He was supposed to enter. So if he was supposed to enter, maybe he's allowed to remain there and be mispalu, what he has to be mispalu. So because of that, the Chazon Yecheskel explains, the halach is that one is not allowed to have any hanor from the Kodesh HaKadoshim without any permission. So here, if he would be standing there when he's davening, he would perhaps have time to have hanor from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is prohibited. So that's why they told him to daven the Kodesh. I saw that the Sefer Chashuki Chemed uses this Gemara to teach us a very important halacha. We know how important it is to daven. We also know how important it is to daven every word of the tefillah. But if it's a situation that by you davening, you're going to cause people to be nervous, let's say somebody's at home and he doesn't know where you are, and you're spending time in shul davening very slowly, which of course is very praiseworthy, but our Mishnah is teaching us here that the Kohen Gadol got once a year an opportunity to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim to be mispalel. And yet the Gemara teaches us, the Mishnah is teaching us, that there was concern of Shloi Lahavis as Beis Yisrael. So I saw a beautiful story, a pshat from the Rishna. There was a chassid of the Rishna Rebbe that would go into the Rebbe that the Rebbe should give him a bracha and be mispal for him. And this chassid was a person who was a very poor person. And every time he went into the Rebbe, it was his intention to ask the Rebbe to be mispal on his behalf, that Hashem should give him panasa. He once walked into the Rebbe and he asked the Rebbe for a bracha and he forgot to ask for panasa. So he decided he has no choice, but he has to go back in a second time. He walked in a second time, and the exact same thing happened. He forgot. So now he was really embarrassed to walk in a third time and ask for that the Rebbe should give him a bracha for panosa. So he walked in and he told the Rebbe, embarrassed, this is what's been happening. So the Rebbe said, there's nothing to be embarrassed about. We have a precedent for this, said the Rebbe, from our Mishnah. We know, and we'll discuss this in Mitzvah Shem, what the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol, as he entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was a tefillah for Gashmius, it was a tefillah for Panosa, for Klal Yisrael. And the question is, why didn't he daven the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Why, as we've been discussing, he davened the Kodesh? So we've given halachic explanation. The original Rebbe explained that when somebody is standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's not a time and a place to think about Gashmius, to think about Panasa. Only when he exits the Kodesh HaKadoshim and he goes into the Kodesh can he start such tefillas. And that's what the Rebbe said. When you're in the presence of Kedusha, you can't think about Panasa. And that's why every time you were in that presence, you forgot and you only remembered when you weren't in the presence of Kedusha. Says the Gemara, b'mayiskinen. So let's explain, ask the Gemara exactly, let's understand what is the situation of our Mishnah. Elaim of Migdash Rishon, he was speaking about the Migdash Rishon, asked the Gemara, we have a proichas. As we've said in today's Shir and in previous Shurim, in the base of Migdash Rishon, there was a wall. Elba Migdash Sheni, we're going to have to say they were speaking about the Migdash Sheni. Ask the Gemara, we have an Oren. Was there an Oren in the Migdash Sheni? For Tanya, the Brisa teaches us, Mishinignus Oren, when the Aron was put away, as we're going to learn, that in the time of Malchus Yoshiyahu, which was at the end of the time of the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, Nignas Ima, the Aron was put away, Nignas Ima Tzentzens Amon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, V'yom Moshe El Aron, Kach Tzentzens Achas, take one pitcher, one jar, V'sen Shem Meloi Oim Amon, V'hanach Yisrael Lefnei Hashem L'dor Seichem, and put it away for future generations. But Tzluch Shemen HaMishcha, Moshe Rabbeinu made the Shemen HaMishcha, Makla Shel Aaron, the stick of Aaron that blossomed, Shkodel or Furachaha. Both blossomed, they had the Shkodeda, or the blossoms, and Furachaha, and the blossoms and the fruit, and the almonds. So the question that I saw the Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal asks, why do we have to have, usually when the fruit comes out, the prachim, which are the blossoms, fall off. Why did this stick have this incredible nace that not only did the fruit stay, the almond stay, but even the prachim, the blossoms that usually fall off, stay? So he says an important lesson. He says, what did the prachim represent and what did the shkodim represent? He says that the prachim represent the blue blossoms that help us succeed in our learning, and the shkodim is the actual learning, the actual divrei Torah, divrei halacha that we say. And he says, usually in the world, the effort that we put into a project is not counted. The world is very focused on results. But he says, that's not by Torah. By Torah, it's not only the results that we are focused on, we're also focused on the melus, the learning of the Torah. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu left not only the almonds on that stick, but the prachim, which represent the preparation for the learning, the toil in the learning as well. Agash sugar Plishtim Darim Ke Yisrael. After the Plishtim took the Aron, and they realized that that was a terrible mistake that they made, they sent the back in a box. Shenemav Skli Azov Shivosim Loi Asham Tosimu BaAgos Mitzida V'Shlachtam Asav Haloch. That wherever the Aron went, this box went along. So if the Aron was put away, so was this put away as well. Ask the Gemara, says the Brisa, me, Gonzo, who was the one that put this all away? Yeshua Gonzo, it was Yeshua. Or my Rosh Gonzo, why did he do it? Says the Gemara, Rosh Kosov, he opened up the Sefer Torah and he read in Pashas Kisavai that the Pasuk says, Yolach Hashem Oischav Es Malkach HaShetokim Alechom El Goyish Lo Yedata. He saw that there's going to be Golos and that we're going to be driven into a Golos. And he didn't want that the Oren should also be taken to the Golos. To Golos. And therefore, Amr v'Gamzai. So he hid it. Shnei v'Yom l'Vim hamvin l'Chol Yisrael hagdoshim l'Hashem tunu es aron akash v'bayis shabon shloim ben David melch Yisrael ein l'cham mas v'kasev. You have nothing to carry anymore. Atu ivdos Hashem l'kechem es am Yisrael. And the way the Mefarshim explained this Gemara is that Yishio opened up the Sefer Torah, and it just was found at that spot, this pasuk. So he said, it's not a coincidence that we opened the Sefer Torah to that spot. It must be a message being sent. Vamar Belozer, how do we know that all these other objects that we just said were hidden along? It says, the Gemara, we learn Xer Shava. The Aron, it says, Ashal Aron Eidus Fnei, Ashal Aron Eidus Fnei Kaparis, Ashal Eidus Ashay Vodlach Hashama. And by the Mon, it says, Kachin Tzintzenes Achas, the Sent Shama, Malaya Aymer. Vashi, and then it says, we learn Xer Shava, Dori Doris. By the Mon, it says, V'hanachai Shal Lefnei Hashem L'mishmer Dori Seichem. And by the Shaman HaMishka says, Shaman HaMishka's Kosh Yizeli L'Dori Seichem. And then we learn Xer Shava, Mishmeris, Mishmeris. But at Tzenes Mamon, it says, V'hanachai Shal Lefnei Hashem L'mishmeris Dori Seichem. And by the Maklis Shal Aaron, it says, Hoshev Es Mata Aaron L'fnei Eidus L'mishmeris Lois Beis Mary. So the Gevurah Sari says that this is all to be understood as a Gzeri Shava. Not as a Gzeri Shava, rather, he says, the way it's to be understood, that these different objects always travel together with the Oren. And wherever the Oren is, that's where they are. And that's why if the Oren is hidden, they have to be hidden. So the question is, we're speaking about the curtains, and we're speaking that the Kohen Gadol came to the place of the Oren, there was no Oren in the base of Migdash Sheni. Answers the Gemara L'Oil Migdash Sheni. We are speaking about the Migdash Sheni. Omai Higil Oren means the place of the Oren. But ask the Gemara, how can we say that? The Mishnah explicitly said, for Nosen Samachtel Bein Shnei Abadim, that they put it down in the place between the two poles. Ema Bein Shnei Abadim, they put it down, Kein Bein Shnei Abadim, the place where the Abadim were when the Oren was there. So we learned in the Mishnah that they put the Torah on top of the Gecholim. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah used the word Sovroi. What does that mean? That it's following the opinion that we learned on Daf Mem Tes on the base, that they poured the Torah on top of the coals that it shouldn't get burnt quickly, because we didn't want to have too much smoke at one time, that if there would be too much smoke at one time, there would be a problem of smoke inhalation. And that's why they poured it that way, not that they put it all over the coals that would cause there should be a lot of smoke quickly. Continues the Braisa. Tani Chada Tzavra. One Braisa says that the way the Ketairis was put on the coal, Pnima, further into the Kodesh Kedoshim, Shechutzalai, in other words, he poured it further away from him, from where the Kohen was standing, moving towards him. That he put it closer to him, and like that, and then he kept on moving further and further. Amar Abaya, so we have a stira. How did the Kohen Gadol put the Ketairis? Says the Gemara Tanaihi. It's actually Mechaikus Tanaim. How it was done? Did he start with the spot that was close to him, or did we start with the spot that was further from him? Amar Abaya Mestaber Kaman Amar Pnima. It makes more sense that he started from a spot that was further from him, Shechutzaloi. The Tanan, because the Mishnah in Masechta Tumah teaches us, Melandim Oisai, they taught the Kohen who's going to do the avoid of the Ketairis, Hizar, be careful, don't start by putting the Ketairis right in front of you, Shemati Kavod, it could cause you to be burnt. And therefore, you should start further away, which is safer. So I saw the Tosfos Rosh says, if that's the safer method to do it, how could somebody suggest to do it a different way? So he explains, because we've learned many times, there's a rule of Eimavir Mala Mitzvahs, and maybe that's why you should start where it's closest and rely that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will protect you, that you won't get harmed. We learned in our Gemara that Yoshio learned a lesson from the Pasuk. As we explained, he opened up the Sefer Torah and he found a Pasuk, Yoylech Oyschav Esmalkecha, there was a simon that he's going to go into the Golus. And the question is, can one use that method to know what to do? There are many examples in Tanakh, in Chazal, where they did different, opened up a pasuk, and they used the pasuk that they were able to find to give them a sign, to give them advice what they should do. The pasuk says, the David HaMelech says, "Pukudecha asicha." I follow your words. By following the words of the Torah, we know what is the right thing to do. It's well known that there was a Goral Agra, and the Goral Agra was a method by opening a chumash in a certain way that would give you a sign what to do. But I saw that the Chidah and the Shailos HaTshuvos Chaim Shaul says that, first of all, not everybody could do this. You have to know what you're doing. And number two, he says, you can't make a business out of this, that if people have questions in life and they don't know what to do, so I'll go and I'll open up a chumash for you and that will show you and tell you what to do. That's something which is inappropriate. If somebody is sitting by a sefer, is sitting by a chumash, and he's sitting with a dilemma and he opens up the chumash to help him understand what to do, that we see from our Gemara was a method that they used to follow in those days.